On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, an armistice began, as two sides agreed to end 4 years of tragic conflict that had come to be known as the First World War. Today, we remember the sacrifices of all those who have given their lives in service of the armed forces. But we also remember and celebrate their rich and meaningful lives. Lives that were, for so many, made happier by sports, as the history and sports editor of the Times literary supplement, David Horsball, explains.
In one sense, sport is the opposite of war. One of the glories of sport that it equates to peace. The other view is actually that it was one of the few ways that these two powers that were completely ideologically opposed to each other could at least have some kind of interaction.
One of the enduring stories of World War I is the tale of the 1914 Christmas Truce. It is said that English and German soldiers laid down their arms and played a football match in no man's land. While historians have since found that there was no universal ceasefire, there is evidence of a number of isolated kickabouts and small matches.
We want it to be true because we know what it means. Two completely opposed sets of people were able to put their differences aside and put them into sport.
At first, football in World War I had been viewed as something of a distraction from military duty. But slowly, it became recognised as something more, something key in keeping up the spirits of the individual soldier. And by World War II, the official view was much different, says creator of the Football and War Network, Alex Alexandru.
Morale, fitness, leadership, teamwork, and they can be encompassed with playing not only in football, but in other sports as well. The message went out, football is good. It's good to have football.
Until 1963, national service in the military was compulsory in the United Kingdom. This meant all healthy men of serving age had to serve in the armed forces for at least 18 months. That included some familiar names, like the late Sir Bobby Charlton, as CEO at the Army FA, Graham Brookland, remembers.
He did his national service with the Royal Armed Ordnance Corps in Shropshire. Gordon Banks did his national service with the Army. Ray Wilson did it. So three World Cup winners all did their national service with the Army.
I think it does the morale of the ordinary soldier a lot of good when they see professional footballer who they've been watching from the terraces actually serving with them.
Back on the home front, World War I presented women with a unique situation. As they became involved in munitions work, they began to earn money as they had never done before. Suddenly, they had more power over what they did in their free time, says sports history professor Jean Williams.
What they chose to do is spend their time raising money for charity by playing games of football.
And while the end of the war signalled the end of their short-lived freedoms, these determined women found a way to play on.
Importantly for us, they didn't give up. Well-behaved women seldom make history. Thank goodness they weren't well-behaved.
Nowadays, the Army FA continues to provide active servicemen and women with the opportunity to play football.
If a soldier wants to get involved in football, to me it's our duty and our obligation to make sure we give them the opportunity.
From the soldiers who laid down their weapons to share joy in a football match, to the professional footballers and ordinary soldiers who did their national service side by side, to the women on the home front who selflessly played sport to raise money for those in need. Sport and war have always been linked in unexpected and touching ways. This Remembrance Day, as we turn our thoughts to the servicemen and women who have given their lives and who continue to defend our freedoms, we also remember their love of sport. A love of sport which has passed down through the ages to reach us today.